Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Horse Geeks podcast, where we look at horses and riding from the inside out. I'm Kirsten Nelson, professional horse trainer, and with me once again, my good friend Deb Romero, certified Alexander Technique instructor. So today's topic is kind of a long title. I have to read it. It's not how much weight you carry, it's how you carry your weight. And this applies both to horses and riders. And I think the reason this topic came up in my mind was because I had a client who is sort of like beating herself up for not being fit enough to be a good rider. And I said to her, I go, no, it's not about how fit you are. Balance doesn't require a lot of fitness. Like, even
Right.
if we're not very fit, we can still ride a bike. So, balance is a different thing than fitness, but using our body in a mechanically efficient way, according to its design, actually helps you get fit, even if you're just vacuuming the house. Like, you don't have to go work out to be fit enough to ride horses. And I see all the time these videos on like exercises for riders, how to strengthen your psoas, yoga for riders. And I'm like, just balance,
Right.
right? And you strengthen, and maybe you can talk about this a bit, but when we use our body in a mechanically advantageous way, even if we're packing some extra pounds, it's like it's still, we manage it. It doesn't have anything to do with whether or not we can balance.
Right. So it pretty much goes back to some of our earlier podcasts about it's pure physics.
Yes.
And that's what it boils down to is what your body wants is your center of mass over your feet. It's that simple. And your center of mass is kind of like below your belly button. And for the central nervous system to be happy, it's going to say that needs to be over the top of my feet. It doesn't matter if you're sitting, riding, standing up. That's what the body craves.
Right, or aligned with gravity,
Right.
finding our alignment with gravity and motion over our feet. So, and what we've talked about before, the stability of the axial skeleton, you're going to use, the sort of big deal right now is your core muscles. But everybody thinks that's in my abdomen. And I go, no, your core muscles could be right up through the back of your neck, along your spine.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, your core muscles, I consider core muscles sort of the closest to the bone
Yeah, and I
rather
call
than
those the
just.
postural muscles. The postural muscles that affect posture are close to the bones. So your arm muscles, your leg muscles, those really don't affect your axial skeleton or your head, neck, back, and pelvis. And because that's where balance should be. Not on,
Right.
it's kind of like the surfer. Anybody can surf. It doesn't matter what they weigh. It just, how are they using their body with the forces that they are with at the time?
Absolutely. And I wa a friend of mine who is from Switzerland, this huge guy, like over 6 feet, probably pushing 300 pounds, and he was an elegant rider. He looked light on the back of a horse, and he would be riding quarter horses. And it's
Oh,
like,
wow.
and he played polo. And it was, he learned how to manage his body in a way that made him a beautiful, elegant rider. And he's just a big guy. And I went, wow, it has nothing to do with our size or shape.
Right.
It has nothing to do with how fit we are. And even people's perception of horses, like a lot of people think if I ride a warm blood or a draft, a cold blood, that they're going to be heavy because they're these heavy-bodied, big horses that
Interesting.
are 1,200 pounds, 1,500 pounds. But I go self-carriage, the goal that we all have theoretically for our horses, means that the horse carries and manages its own body weight. So we don't feel the heaviness in our hands. Big horses can be just as light to our aids as little horses. And, you know, I'm one of those people, I just was lucky genetically. I don't put on weight easily. But people will look at me and go, oh, I have to be really fit to be a rider. And I go, no, your weight is actually your advantage. If you know how to use your body weight, it's really to your advantage to help the horse balance, because we're talking physics. So I go, if you have more weight or mass and you know how to stabilize your own body, and then you use your weight and mass is kind of what I call the primary aid. You're resisting the forces of imbalance in the horse, which are the forces that unseat us. So we sort of use our weight to not be unseated, as the horse's back is sort of shaking us left to right, or lifting us on one side, or throwing us forward or back. We can strategically use our body weight as a resistant force to the horse's imbalance. And I go, that's a big advantage if you have more weight.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like when you mentioning the self-carriage of the horse, because we could apply that to people. It's the same thing.
Yes. It's,
so if for riders, maybe to think of self-carriage in the horse, well, we should be looking to achieve the exact same thing when we ride.
Yeah, and the shape and size of the body, even the weight of the body, or extra weight of the body, or underweight of the body, none of that matters when it comes to mechanics and physics. I go, those are sort of the details of the body, but we still all have the same mechanical structure, the shape of our skeleton, where all the bits and pieces go. That's the same, whether you're tall or short or thin or full figured, it doesn't matter.
And, right.
And the same with horses. You get a heavy bodied, big boned horse, and people expect that horse to lean on the bit, right? Or to be heavy to the leg. And I see riders almost anticipating that, expecting that it's going to be a heavy horse to ride. And I go, no, the horse's body also has the same mechanical structure, where the size of their particular hindquarters can support the weight of the long neck and the heavy head. That relationship is inherent in the body structure. It's just how you use yourself. So I love that. It's not how much weight you carry, it's how you carry your weight. And yeah, you said that's like an Alexander thing.
It's been in the Alexander community for a long time, and I wish I knew who to quote with that. But, you know, we get the same thing with people coming in, and it's kind of like we play these tapes about our weight, or, you know, I'm too this to do that. And those tapes are what can actually bring us down and make us shorten, instead of, you know, being open and willing to say, well, this is what I have and I'm going to do my best with it.
Right. So like we're all given sort of this mechanical structure, but no instruction book comes with it. And no matter our shape or size, or when I talk about biomechanics, one of the first things riders will say to me is, oh, I have a bad knee. I have a bad hip. I have this issue with my back. I even had a lady with severe scoliosis. And I said, it doesn't, even if with imperfect mechanics, when we talk about balance, it's really a management of force that tells us we're utilizing our mechanical structure in the best possible way, in the most efficient way. So even if we have all these imperfections in our structure, it still doesn't matter.
Yeah, I had a colleague who I went to Alexander School with, and she has scoliosis. But learning the Alexander technique and how to manage herself, she's not lost any height or anything. You know, she maintains herself very well.
And probably is pain-free.
To my knowledge, yep.
Yeah.
She actually teaches at a university, so as an Alexander teacher, movement instructor.
Yeah, and I think that's a little bit the challenge of biomechanics becoming the new buzzword in the horse and rider business. And it's sort of like there's when we only talk about biomechanics and we don't bring in the physics, which is really balance. Balance is equalization of forces, right? We have a three-dimensional body, so we have to equalize forces in three dimensions. How do you do that? Well, you utilize your mechanics in more and more efficient ways, more balanced ways. And the thought of just biomechanics, I realized people were starting to tell me everything that was wrong mechanically with them or their horse, which instantly sort of was leading them to believe that if there's a mechanical anomaly, then it's not possible to have correct mechanics.
Wow. Yeah, and that's like the almost everybody that comes to see me does that same thing of naming all of their problems. I think I've had one student come to me and say, "I don't want to discuss what my problems. I want to move forward with better use of my body." And I went, "Wow, okay, that's pretty progressive."
Yeah. Yes.
So
Yeah.
looking, Mio Morales, who is an Alexander teacher, has a saying of, where else do I seem a bit easy? So
I love that.
taking our attention away from what's bothering us and going to the places that are working right. And it might be something simple as, my left toe feels great, or whatever. Just start with something, or my breathing feels real relaxed. But to sh do that paradigm shift into, well, what's working well, and how, and what happens is that thing we thought was so dragging us down, we've lifted ourselves out of it.
Yeah, and I think we've even talked about before in previous podcasts how we are hardwired in our instincts to perceive problems rather than like what's going wrong. It is a much stronger attention grabber than what's going right. And that's part of our survival mechanism that through evolution, if you didn't notice what was wrong, you might not survive. But we have to consciously redirect that instinct and start to look for where do I feel good? What, where is the ease that I feel? And I love that you started like adding that into your teaching because I went, wow, it's just like with a horse that's scared, the key to helping the horse overcome fear issues is to just redirect their attention. Keep taking their attention away from the fear trigger and either back to you or to something completely different and out of sight, out of mind. It's like the energy shifts as soon as the horse is no longer thinking about whatever's triggering the fear response. And I went, oh my God, we're not that different. Like, so when we're focused on the fact that we feel unfit or we feel like we have a pain issue that grabs all of our attention, what you're saying is, okay, that's there. I recognize it's there. I'm not like pretending it's not there. It's there, but that's only one part of the picture. Where else in my body do I feel ease? And I think you even said it. Can we distract ourselves? Because it made me think of how I get horses to calm down. I distract them away from the fear and go, let's go do this. Let's do that. Let's turn right. Let's turn left. Let's stop. Let's go. Let's do anything other than look at that.
That white plastic bag blowing in the
Right.
wind.
Or the neighbor doing something weird. Yeah.
Yeah,
Right.
and that's one thing about the Alexander work is bringing the subconscious habits, whether they're communication or in the body, bringing that to our awareness, because we can't change unless we're aware of what we need to change.
Yes. And just knowing that our instinct is always going to pull our attention to the problem.
Yes.
But the solution doesn't live there.
No.
The solution lives in finding something else to think about and finding something positive that you can build on.
Yes.
And I learned
Yeah.
that through training over the years with like difficult horses or lame horses was instead of sort of focusing on what the horse couldn't do, I would experiment with different strategies or exercises going, okay, I need to move towards mechanical efficiency, or I need to get this horse out of fear. What can we do? And then read the horse's response. And that made me super adaptable, going, okay, this isn't working within 5 seconds. Let me try something else. That's not working
I
within
think
5 seconds.
Key is to the language you said, working towards. We forget as humans, we have to adapt and work towards that balance. And
Yes.
I think another great podcast would be balance is not balance is not stillness, as in rigidity. You
I actually, that same thought crossed my mind. Yes, because the same thought was whenever you come to visit or I see you and I watch you work with especially riders, or if you work with one of my clients, the first thing they say to me is, you got to help me hold this. You know, or I hear people say, how do I hold these changes?
How do I keep this?
How do I keep this? Because it feels good. But even in that question, it's like you lose it just by asking that question.
Yeah, because we think it's something that needs to be done, or a place we have to be,
or
or a position.
Specific, or people, and this is the other kind of pitfall with the whole popularity of biomechanics, is that we think it's a position.
Right.
That the bones have to be here, 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 and here. And this muscle should be working and that muscle shouldn't, and blah, blah, blah. Or the frame should be this or this or this. And I go, that's kind of why I kept gravitating towards the land of physics, because I go, physics helps us understand that it's a constant adaptation, especially in motion.
Right.
And when we are in balance, then we're also being mechanically efficient or optimizing our balance,
right.
optimizing our mechanics, and vice versa. If we explore our mechanics and we get out of our habits, so rather than thinking I'm going to go from my habit to this perfect change,
exactly.
It's like, can we explore our own bodies?
Yeah.
Like all the stuff I do with rider balance is, what's your range of motion, right?
Yeah.
What's the range of motion of your arms? Is the right arm the same as the left arm? Or what about your spine, like forward and back, up and down, left and right, twisting or bending? And as we explore that range of motion, we find our own, like an awareness of our own anatomy.
Yeah.
That otherwise, I don't think we ever pause long enough to consider.
Only
I think,
Alexander technique teachers do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if we're not aware, then we're going off of instinct or habit, just like a horse. Or if we have these constructs in our mind, and that's kind of what came up that led to the topic today is it a fitness issue? Or is it a balance issue? If you're struggling
Right.
with the riding, I go 100% of the time, if you're on the back of the horse struggling, it's a balance issue.
Right.
It has nothing to do with how fit or strong or heavy or light or tall or short, or whether you have long legs or short legs. I go, none of that matters. And even whether you're old or young.
Right. It's
I
a
go,
level of coordination. That's all.
yes.
It's using it the best of your ability.
Yes.
In that activity.
And I think what we feel when we ride are the forces of motion. So how do we know if we are biomechanically correct? I go, because it feels good.
Right. It goes right to the central nervous system. And you get that. I sometimes say to people, oh my gosh, all the wrinkles on your face are gone.
Yeah.
Because even there can be a level of tension under the skin. And when you find that easy place, the central nervous system just calms everything down and says, yes, this is it. But then our silly brains say, well, don't lose it. Hold on to that. That gets
Yes.
us in trouble.
Yes. Or just that instinct that the problem gets our attention.
Right.
You know, and I watched you work with three riders on the ground, and one showed up, her horse had stepped on her foot and she showed up limping. And another one shows up and instantly says, one leg is longer than the other, and this is my problem. And the third one shows up and says, oh, I have this hip pain. My replaced knee is now painful. I don't want to have a second knee replacement. And within an hour, all three of them forgot about their issues and walked, moved, and it was dismounted, just walking around an arena. And the one whose horse stepped on her foot quit limping, like almost instantly. And the one with one longer leg suddenly went, my leg doesn't feel longer. And then it took a little while longer, but I think when you played with the hip joint, the lady with the knee replacement that was painful was like, oh, my knee doesn't hurt.
Right.
But it was almost an afterthought while you had them focused on other things that those issues just sort of lessened.
Right. If you're focusing on getting the balance and coordination, to me, the places of pain are just give indicators of you're not using yourself well.
Yes.
It's just going to the weakest link. It's, you know, knee, shoulder, whatever, back. You're just not using yourself well. And that's the indicator you need to check in and get some help on how to use yourself better.
Yeah. And if you're not using yourself well, you're going to have, like the lady with the knee issue was carrying her weight unevenly left to right. And so she was constantly overloading the leg that had the pain.
Right.
And so with every step she took, she was over concussing, which was the source of her pain. And as soon as she started to think about balancing, the weight shifted and the mechanics changed. Those two things go together. So internally, we can overload one hip, knee, foot, ankle, compared to our other leg, just out of a habit, an unconscious habit.
Yeah.
And we
Yeah.
can also change that. That's the power of it, is we can alter that. And the lady who thought she had one leg longer, I think her legs felt more equal to her. She grew, I think, like a half an inch in the hour. You know, she got taller. And then she told me last week that a couple of people had commented that she looked like she lost weight and got fitter. And she's like, I weigh exactly the same.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah. And so I
hear
go,
that a lot.
You know, sometimes what makes us look heavy is just the way we're carrying our weight.
Exactly.
Right. And we
Yeah.
can be unequal left to right. We can be unequal front to back, and we can be unequal up to down. And that weight distribution follows it.
Yes.
And
Or
it's the same for the horse.
And it really boils down to what we do in our body is what we're thinking. So the mastery of changing the way you use your body is you have to change the way you think about it.
Yeah, and I thought that was just brilliant that you said find the place that feels good in your body.
Yeah.
And build from there.
And go from there.
And go from there. And compare that ease, kind of taking an inventory internally, where are the places I feel easy, and keep pulling our attention away from the pain issue or the discomfort or the self-limiting belief
right.
that I can't ride until I'm fit, or I'm not going to ride well until I'm fit. And I go, if you ride well, you will become fit, because using your body in balance, especially on a moving force like a horse, is going to strengthen those, the whole core, the back, the deeper muscles of your body.
Yes. Not only strengthen, but accessing them and being able to use them where you might not have before.
Yeah.
So just having that adaptability or curiosity to explore, well, how could I do this differently?
Yes.
You know, and us Alexander teachers play
what I
with
have,
weird stuff.
Well, and I was going to say, with what I have right now, the way I'm built right now, could I work on my balance? And the result was you kind of become fitter. But the first thing that happens is you feel ease with
Yes.
whatever body shape you have, whatever mechanical anomalies you have. I go, crikey, by the time we're 21, we have mechanical anomalies and
especially
problems.
Horse
And
people.
Yeah, especially horse people. We've all got broken something. And
I can
and
never,
people,
there's never a piece of paper long enough to list when I go to the doctor's office all of my things. And that's
yes.
interesting too, because, you know, our whole system is built towards fixing things, fixing the things that are wrong.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, and one of my mentors, Jean-Luc Corneil, is in his 70s. And somebody asked him one time, have you ever broken a bone, you know, falling off a horse? And he goes, 42.
He can keep count.
Because yes. And so in France, they have like a health system where you have a scoring for, you know, how many bones you break and blah, blah, blah. And there's like some kind of scoring system. And so he went to the doctor and said, you know, he was going to try out for the Olympics. This was, you know, back in maybe the 70s. And the doctor said, oh, the Special Olympics. Because he had so many points on his health chart. And he goes, no, the regular Olympics. He goes, well, you have enough points, you could be in the Special Olympics. But I go, he still rides. He's a beautiful rider.
He is.
Beautiful
and that's
rider.
A great example of
Yes.
the healthy use and balance on a horse.
Absolutely. And, you know, my first experience with that was like in California in my 20s, I was introduced to this guy, John Strong, who became my first horse training mentor. He was amazing. And when I first met him, I was in my 20s. God knows how old he was. He could have been 100 from my perspective. But he was an older gentleman. And I thought, oh, he's the nice caretaker. You know, he wasn't super athletic. He was a bit older. And I thought, there's no way this guy can get on a horse. Not only did he get on the fire-breathing stallion that he
oh my
owned,
gosh,
but it was the lightest, most beautiful ride. And I was gobsmacked. I'm like, how did this, from my 21-year-old eyes, old decrepit man, get on and do that? And I went, that was like, maybe I couldn't verbalize it at the time, but I went, if that's possible, then riding has nothing to do with strength and fitness.
Yeah.
Because he was an elegant rider, not particularly fit, old enough that he didn't have his sort of youthful male strength anymore, but so beautiful, so much feel, so much balance, so elegant. And the horse responding to him. And the same thing when I would watch Jean-Luc Corneille ride was, what are you doing? Because it looks like nothing.
Right.
You know, and watching an older person ride, you see that efficiency and balance really don't require strength and fitness.
That's a good way to put it. And I think as we age, we seek that even more. I mean, that's probably what I hear the most of people, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s riding is the balance issue.
Yeah.
Finding
and
balance.
You know, these two mentors of mine had ridden their whole life. But what was interesting was while I was learning the more subtle versions of the coordination, it felt like a lot of effort to me. And I thought, how are they doing it? I am definitely fitter, younger, and stronger. Why am I struggling? And they look like it's nothing. And Jean-Luc explained to me that once you develop that coordination in your nervous system, you become very efficient.
Right.
So it might take some effort to change your coordination or improve the use of your body. But once you have it, you actually use less strength.
Right. You don't muscle through anymore.
Right.
It's that, like we said earlier, it's that level of coordination just is so easy. I don't know how else to put it. And people have used, that's why it's so hard to explain what I do, because it's so internal.
Oh, yes.
That to access that is, you know, everybody, it's like seeking the ice cream. You got to have it.
No, and I think we should do a whole podcast on the internal external relationship, because that is what's hard to explain about the Alexander technique. And it's a little hard to explain in what I do, the training for optimal balance, because what people are observing is like just the tip of the iceberg. I go, the rest of the iceberg is all internal, and it can feel overwhelming. It can feel challenging. It can feel like it's hard work, but nobody sees what you're doing. So the appearance of it is that it's simple. I could do that. That looks way too easy. When are you going to do something hard?
Difficult.
And it's like, oh, this is hard enough. Yeah. Yeah. But that internal world, I think, is what, until we get on a horse, there's not a ton of activities in our human life that require us to go back into our internal world.
We've lost that. There's an article, it's out of print, called The Lost Sixth Sense, where we've become so visual instead of kinesthetic. We, mm-hmm. like you said, that podcast on internal and external, we need to get that kinesthesia back of what is going on in here. It's kind of like the comparison, I think I've brought it up, of an old person with a walker, that they have lost all balance ability and are balancing off their hands and legs.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you find that internal coordination, it looks effortless. It looks easy.
Yes. No, and meeting some of the older Alexander technique instructors, I think, you know, easily 70 and over, but they had been doing it for 20 years. And I looked at him and went, it's what we call spry. Like I go, yeah. they just move with so much ease that kind of defies their age. And I go, yeah. That's what I want to be when I grow up. Like, that's what I want to be able to do. And it takes conscious control over our physical use.
Yes.
It can't be unconscious. Like our instincts and our habits are what they are. We all have them. And none of us are going to achieve perfection. But if we just move that direction, things get a lot easier and better.
Yeah, if we just keep searching and looking, it's kind of like watching a child just crawling towards something, that kind of gleam in their eye of, ooh, what's that over there?
Shiny object.
The shiny thing. It just, that's the curiosity, instead of, that's what we're losing as adults, is that curiosity, adaptability, kinesthetics.
Well, and kind of conversely, hang on a second. Sorry, I got a frog in my throat. Kind of conversely, when we are babies, our instinct as humans is to go for the shiny object. But we don't think about how we use our mechanical structure in order to do that. So when we want to become like, maybe we were just figured it out randomly, and that's what I call talent. I go, some bodies figure it out better than other bodies. Some have better inherent conformation or genetic advantages than others. And that's true whether it's horses or people. But we can all improve our conscious control of our body. But we
And
still kind of.
that's I don't have to be fit. I don't need to be a certain weight. I don't need to be able to do 50 push-ups to ride.
Right, or even function day to day
That's
in
a
a
good point.
pain-free, easy manner, that internal coordination is how I do what I do. And if we weren't one of those few that's uber talented, naturally athletic, and has perfect conformation, then we have to learn it. It
I'm only
becomes a
five
learned
one. I
skill.
mean, come on. And I'm riding 17 hand horses, so.
Yes. And you look at little kids on horses and you go, it's not a strength. You look at old people and tiny children on horses and how the horses respond. And I go, we see over and over living proof that this does not take strength. Riding a horse is more about the communication and the balance and kind of the efficiency or the ease of using our body on a moving force. That is good riding, and horses respond to that because it's a as weight and mass, whether it's a lot of weight and a lot of mass, or a little weight and a little mass, it still influences the movement of the horse.
It reminds me of, do you ever, that game? It was a little plastic square thing, had holes in it with a little ball, and you're trying to get the ball into the middle hole. That's what it feels like to me. It's
Ah,
we're
yeah.
constantly having to move our joints to find the stillness that's needed.
Yes. Yes. That center, and we'll talk about that. I think I can't remember if we did a podcast on it or not, that our center of mass is a geographical location in a body. It's the middle of the mass. But our point of balance is that same central axis point in a three-dimensional body, but it changes. And it's what in physics we call an instant center of rotation. So the body organizes around that center of rotation, but the instant center of rotation can be near the center of mass or the center of gravity, but it's not necessarily the same. It has a small range of motion near the center of the body. And that's what allows us to balance on a high wire or a horse or do handstands or surf and ride jockey style or Western style. Those are all different mechanical uses of our body. But that central point being in line with gravity, or like you say, being over our feet, is always the place of balance, no matter what configuration we're putting our mechanics into. So it's not how much weight you carry, it's how you carry your weight. I love that.
I wish I knew who said it, but
Yeah.
because we hear that all the time about I've got too much of this, not enough of that. Da, 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 da. And I think more women do that than men, but
Or with horses, I always hear sort of what the horse is doing or not doing. And I say a lot in my line of work, it's not what you're doing with the horse, or it's not even what the horse is doing, it's how the horse
Exactly.
is doing what they're doing. We all do something, but the difference when we come down to balance is how we go about organizing or coordinating what we're doing.
And it truly comes from not only changing a physical pattern, you have to change the thought pattern around that movement to really achieve a higher level of coordination and balance.
Yeah. And before I really understood mechanics and balance, the assumption out there with horses is that if I can get my horse to do a lead
ABC.
change,
Yeah.
a flying change, then my horse must be in balance because I was able to do the lead change. Or
Wow.
I could ride a perfect circle, so my horse must be in balance. And we have all kinds of evidence out there in competitive riding, high level riding, low level riding, that if that were the case, we wouldn't have heaviness, lameness, horses breaking down, behavioral issues. I go, so being able to do the maneuver with a horse in no way, shape, or form guarantees that the horse is balanced.
That's the doing instead of being.
But that's still the larger perception out there that
Yes,
if I can
absolutely.
follow the geometry to perfection in my dressage test, or if I can get over that bigger jump, then my horse must be in balance because we were able to do it.
Right.
And I go, no, they can do it in complete dysfunction.
And so can we.
And so can we, yes.
Obviously,
Yes. Yes. Yeah, because we all function, we all get
we
things
all,
done.
yep, we're all getting around.
Yes. Excuse me. But the way we do things sort of makes the difference between ease or pain.
And the
Excuse
way
me.
we think we do things is that the bigger step is changing the thought. You can even look at it like updating your software.
Yeah, and I think the thing we can do with the power of our complex brains is where horses don't have that same level of complexity, horses have less choice of what they focus on. They're more instinctually reactive. We don't always use the capacity of our brain, but we could. We have this enormous capacity of imagination and choice, and we could use that to redirect what we're thinking about.
Yes.
Are we thinking what we're against, or are we thinking of what we want, what we don't want, or what we want, what we're against, or what we're for? And are we thinking of where things get easier, or are we just mired down in the cycle of struggle and hardship?
I'm not fit enough. I have to be 5'8" and
Right. All of those limiting beliefs,
right.
we begin our way out by just with the thought of what can I do?
Right.
What is easy? And that really helped, especially dealing with, tricky horses. It was like starting the work with what can we do where the horse's energy becomes more cooperative or calmer or less defensive, even if it's not great, is it less defensive than it was when we started? Is
Right.
the
And that
movement.
adaptability and moving towards, I really like that language you use, moving towards what we want, because that's all we can do is move towards it.
Well, and as soon as we achieve something, we all want something else. So I go,
The human way.
it really is an endless moving towards. Because as soon as we get what we want something more, something
Yeah.
better, something different. So we never stop moving towards. But when we're not getting what we want, it's the whole poor me. Oh my God, I'm stuck. I can't do it. I'm not blah, blah, blah enough.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
agree.
Okay, so I think we can wrap it up there. Thanks, everyone, for joining us for another Horse Geeks podcast. And we hope you go out today and work what you got.
Look at the, find the ease in it.
Yeah, and just thinking about even moving around, equalizing my body weight up, down, left, right, front, back, thinking in three dimensions, I always find ease with that thought. And I
Yeah.
forget about it. More often than I think about it, I forget about it. But I always feel better when I remember to do that.
Good idea.
Good idea. All right, you guys, thanks. And we will see you next time. Oh, please like, share, subscribe, blah, blah, blah. And
Comments, comments
oh,
or
comments
ideas.
and ideas. Anything you want to see in a lesson video with visuals or any topics on the podcast. We love the feedback and the comments. So thanks for joining us, everyone. And we will see you again next time.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.